I thank God you're here today, but I knew you was going to be here. How did I know that? At 5 o'clock this morning, I talked to God about you. Now I'll talk to you about God. That's a fact. I said, Lord, you bring who you want to be there. And then, Lord, you got to speak to him. I can't do it. But let's pray first, because if I don't pray, I'll be talking to myself. I'm like the Pharisee. He talked to himself. Lord, our great God and our Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every person that is here, and even those who would have a desire to be here and couldn't be here, Lord. You said a book of remembrance is written for them that thought on your name. Lord, might our names be in that book of life, the one that's going to last on to everlasting. Oh, God, be with us and help me to speak the things of God that I understand to be true by the work of the Holy Spirit. But, Lord, I can speak 1,000 words, but unless you speak, they're not going to hear. Unless you get in their hearts and minds, Lord, they won't see. Oh, God, just help us and help Mark as he's over at the other church speaking today. And bless the hearers of the word and the readers of the word. In Christ's precious name, amen. So, like I said, if we talk to God before we pray, we're like the Pharisee. He spoke to himself. And I don't want to speak to myself. I do this all the time. But I try to pray over before I speak to myself. And what I thought I'd do today, I'm going to preach a message I preached 30 times. But you never heard it. Because I never preached it here. It's about the love of God. I don't want to tell you about the love of God. I want my life to reflect the love of God. And if it doesn't, you ain't going to hear me anyhow. Because having eyes, we see not and ears. We see better with our eyes than what we hear here. So I trust that God will be with us today here in this time of fellowship. And I thank God you're here. And like I said, I talked to God about you this morning. I said, oh, I don't know who's going to be there, Lord, but you know. And Lord, give me the ability to speak to these people about you. Because I don't want to speak of my own self. I want to speak of God. Tell you how good God is. All week long, I watch the news sometimes. In Pittsburgh, it was a terrible thing that happened to Tree of Life down there. And they were marching. They were saying that love is so much greater than hate is. And it is. Love is so much greater. But it's only as great as it reflects. We've reflected to people here. Love will cover a multitude of sins. It's covered mine, so I know it'll cover a multitude of them. But I had the grim. Mark called me last week. And I was getting ready. I was going fishing. And I just about got where I was going to. And he said, Ed, would you mind preaching next Sunday? I said, you mean down there or up here? He said, in the pulpit. He said, can you stand 1 hour? Can you stand for an hour up there? I went fishing. I stood there 6 hours. Don't get scared. I can stand that long as I don't move too much. So I won't move around very much. But standing's never a problem. They said I got loose hardware in the knees and they shake a lot. But, hey, that's part of the system, I guess. But anyhow, I was going to talk today on the love of God. Like I said, I've preached to myself every week. Now you say, if you've been saved by the grace of God, why do you need to preach to yourself? Because I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God. I am considered a saint in heaven, but I live in an ungodly body right here. And I need to preach to me. Jesus said, if a man's well, he don't need a physician. But I'm still not well yet. I still fall short of the glory of God. And you do too. You do too. So I need to preach to me. I need to preach to myself. And I want to preach about the love of God. But we sung that song before I forget. Standing on the promises of God. And we sing that song, Rock of Ages. Why can I stand on the promises of God? 1 Kings 8:56. Don't turn. I shouldn't have even given the verse. A lot of times you give a verse to people, they never hear what you say because they want to find that verse. But Moses, when he's dedicating the people of Israel to God, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. There's never failed one good promise that he promised by his servant Moses." So if nothing has failed that he promised by Moses, how much greater is Christ? Nothing will fail that he promised through Christ. Nothing. And we sing that song, Standing on the Promise. That's not all. We sing another song, Rock of Ages, right? We sing that song, Rock of Ages and the Promises of God. I want you to think about something. I've thought about it all week. If we stand on the promise, and I've heard people say we're on the rock, this Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Think about this. Matthew, forget that scripture. I'm not going to give it to you. It's 18. He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." It's a church. It's on the rock. So I'm going to tell you something. If you're in the church, and that's the body, you're not up on that rock. You're in the rock. You are in the rock. He's the rock of ages. He took our sins in his body on the tree and died. I'm not standing on the rock anymore. I used to. Sometimes I stand on the rock, I slip and fall. But I'm in that rock now. Because he said, "I'll build my church." And the church is built up on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He is the footer, and he's the head of the body, which is the church. And I say, if you're in that church, you're in the rock. You're in the rock of ages. It don't get old. It's new every day. It never gets old. Anyhow, I forgot where I was going to. John 15. I'm going to talk about love. I'm going to tell you about love. And I hope to God I've showed you about love. I've seen great love here. Not because they've preached to me the love, but I've seen it in people. And I hope to God we'll see it in me. I mean, if we don't reflect the love of God, we don't reflect Jesus Christ. He's the reflection of God. So we got to reflect his love the way we live. And in fact, we got a little girl in church here. And I know she ain't going to mind what I say. And I ain't going to mention her name because we got a lot of little girls. But she came to me about 3 weeks ago. And she said, "Ed, I need some words of wisdom." Nobody's ever asked me that before. She must have read Job 32. It said, "Days ought to speak, and multitude of years ought to teach wisdom. But there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding." She said, "I need some words of wisdom." I thought, wow, this is great. And she told me she had a friend she loved very much. They were buddies. And she had been talking to her quite a bit about the Lord, but it upset her friend when she talked to him about the Lord. And I, without thinking, I give her words of wisdom, and they were not wisdom at all. They were foolish words. We think we need to tell everybody everything, but we don't have that. I said, "You go to the Psalm right there. I'm not telling you where it's at. He is our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble." And I come back next week and I said, don't go there. Don't even go there. She's your friend. The thing she don't like about you, because you're talking to her about the gospel. Don't take the gospel to you. Just love her. Love her. And she'll call you one day. When God already talks to her. You don't have to. God will talk to her. And she'll call you. And she'll want some help. And that's a fact. When God speaks to a person, God will have another person to speak to this person. Amen. I guarantee he will. I can take you, look at Acts chapter 8. Huh? You remember the Ethiopian eunuch was in a chariot going to Jerusalem to worship? And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And Philip walked by and he said, hey, what are you reading? Well, I'm reading Isaiah. Do you understand what you read? He said, no. How can I accept someone teaches me? God's got you to teach somebody. God's saving somebody and will send it your way. Except somebody tells me. And he told him about God. And he got saved by the grace of God. If God's got a sinner under conviction out here, he'll send somebody by to talk to that man. He did me. I don't think I'll get in this message today. 42 years ago, I had a friend in Ohio. I ain't going to tell you what we did. It was nothing. I mean, terrible. But he used to take the landlady to church on Sunday, and I didn't know that. He'd get up every Sunday morning after weekend rides, and we did. And he'd leave the house. I didn't know what happened to him. Well, he'd been taking this widow lady to church. And lo and behold, she talked to him to going into the church. And God did something. God saved my buddy Joe. And Joe and I parted friendship right there. I said, Joe, what you got for old men and women, it's not for me. We didn't talk for 2 or 3 years. I said, don't you ever talk to me about this God you're talking about. I don't want to know him even. But 2 years later, I called him up. I said, Joe, how come? I actually tried to kill myself. I said, Joe, how come you haven't talked to me about that, the God? He said, I give up on you. I said, you did? He said, yep, all of it is pray for you. I said, what'd you pray about? He said, I prayed God would either save you or kill you. That's a hard thing. Because I just tried to take my life a week before. I said, if you'll pick me up in the morning, I'll go with you. And he picked me up. God had him there. And he got me ready, prepared to hear the gospel. Yeah, he said, I've been praying for you. I said, what do you pray about? He said, God will kill you or save you. That's a hard prayer. But it'll make you think. Anyhow, we need a friend. And we have a friend in Christ. In fact, there's a verse that says, greater love has no man than this. What is that? That he lay his life down for a friend. Guess what? He didn't do that. Christ didn't do that. He laid his life down for his enemies. He didn't have any friends. They run away from him. He laid his life down for the most ungodly people I ever know of. In fact, I see him all the time. And every morning I look in the mirror, I see one of them. He died for the ungodly. In fact, the Bible said, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Preadventure for a good man, some might even dare to die. There may be somebody you would die for, your kids, maybe. But God commended his love to you, and that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you and me. And we didn't love him. We hated him without a cause. And he loved us without a cause. There's nothing in us to cause him to love us. He loved us because the Father sent him to do what he had to do. And he come into this world to lay his life down for ungodly sinners. We sang that song one way. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. Guess what? We led him to start with. We led him as a lamb to the slaughter. And he opened not his mouth. The love of God is manifest through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. It's the miracle growth that makes it grow. The love of God. The text I chose for that is, I got time to read it. John 15. You can turn there, but I don't want you to turn somewhere else. I guarantee you, too many times a preacher or somebody will get up here and say, there it is, back there. But the time you find it, he's going anyhow. And then you forgot why you went there. And you can be like Dennis and said, I forgot. And you can't prove he didn't forget. I used to tell my wife that all the time. I forgot. You couldn't forget. But I did. She never did prove I didn't forget. That's a good thing about getting old. Anyhow, John 15. And I was just going to read verses 13 and 14. But I want to sketch through the first part of this here in John 15. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abides in me. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the true vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me, in him the same brings forth much fruit. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered and is gathered and cast into the fire, and they are purged. If you abide in my word, you shall ask what you will, and I'll do it for you. Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in him, these things I spoke unto you, that your joy may remain, that you may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And greater love has no man than this, that he would die for a friend. I say he didn't die for his friends. His friends left him. He died for an ungodly sinner such as I am, such as we all were. In verse 15, he said, I don't call you a servant, because a servant don't know what his master does. He said, I call you a friend. Friends don't have any secrets. They talk to each other. Just like I told that little girl, put your arm around your friend and tell her you love her. That'll go a long ways. You know, we can quote scripture and we can preach all we want to. But people does not hear us. They see us. They see what we are. And the best preaching we can do is what they see. What they see. But anyhow, it says he died. I went to this morning. I've been reading a book by Martin Lloyd Jones. I know Dennis knows who he is. He was a physician over in Scotland, but the Lord saved him. And I think he was one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. And Martin Lloyd Jones was a teacher in the seminaries. He taught all over the world over in Scotland. And somebody asked him about preaching one time. How do you manage to preach this level here? He said, preaching ought to be like making cookies. Okay, get your attention then. You ought to put it on bottom shelf when you preach, that a little 4-year-old can reach up and get it. Put it on the bottom shelf. Some preachers put it on top shelf, and they have to have a stepladder to get up there to put it there. And they never get it down from up there. So we got to preach to the people we know. Not with elegant words of man's wisdom, but in demonstrations of spirit of the power of God, that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. When I read that, he said a cookie that the kid can reach up. And I thought, well, there's something you got to do with that cookie. You got to make it sweet. Sweet. And the Bible said the gospel was sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Amen. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter. So we got to give that gospel out. And they'll taste of it. And guess what sugar is? It's addictive. That's why I eat 3 donuts in the morning with my coffee. I don't put sugar in, but I eat donuts. It's addictive. Sugar is. And God is that way. If you've ever tasted and seen how good God is, you'll keep drawing from the water of wealth, from the water of life. Greater love has no man than this, that he would lay his life down for a friend. He said, if you keep my commandments, then you're my disciples. You know, how many times have I heard from the jailhouse down there over the years, and anybody that's ever been in this place, they always have a question to ask you. And the greatest question they have to ask you was answered by the greatest man that ever lived. And they said, Ed, what is the greatest sin? Have you ever been asked that question? What's the greatest sin? I have, a lot of times. And you know why they ask you that question? So they can justify their own self. If you say it's child pornography, it's any of these other, oh, I don't do that. See, they want to justify their own self. But I can tell you exactly what the greatest sin is. No, I can't tell you. I can show you what the greatest sin is. Matthew 22:36-37. You can turn there. Yeah, I'm going to show you what the greatest sin. Because somebody will ask you this question sometimes. And you may not know how to answer them. But many times when they ask the Lord a question, he answers that with a question himself. What do you think of Christ? Matthew 22:36-37. You tell me, when you look at that, what is the greatest sin in the world? I see you grinning. You're grinning. Right. What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord with my heart, soul, and mind. What is the greatest sin? Right there. That's the greatest. Because you don't do it. And don't you tell me you do. Because I don't neither. We don't love him like we ought to. But if that's the greatest commandment, and we break that commandment, that's the greatest sin in the world. He said, I don't call you a servant here. He said, I call you a friend. And there's a verse of scripture. Because I have 11 brothers. And the reason that got my attention when I read it, I'm not even telling you where it's at. Because you'll go hunt for it. We have a friend, it says, that's closer than a brother. Thus it is the Lord. There can be no other. He that laid his life down and took it up again, 'tis the greatest sacrifice since all the worlds began. Lord, give me grace to claim thee for my own. There is no greater God than he that sits upon your throne. That's what I think about that verse. I remember that verse. That was one of the first one I memorized 40 years ago, but I've thought of it. We have a friend that's closer than a brother. I don't care if you're a friend of Christ. I don't care if you are. I hope you are. But even a friend of Christ needs a substitute for his sins. You say, I'm a friend of him. You still need a substitute. You are not sufficient in yourself to pay the price that had to be paid. Your sufficiency is in Christ. In Christ alone. On the solid rock. And never forget the solid rock. You're not standing on it anymore. If you're a member of this body of church right here, you're in this solid rock. And I say, I don't need to preach to you about love. If my life has not reflected love of God to you, then I've not did what I should do. Because your life has reflected the love of God to me. I've seen it, Patty and Annie, I've seen every one of you people. I even seen Beck down there. She hugs me every time she sees me anymore. They were so glad when I went to Minnesota, they thought I wasn't coming back, but I came right back. But I do thank God for every one of you people. You know, who would have put a body together like this? You couldn't have put them together. It had to be God. He put us in the body as it pleased him. And the body functioned because it supports the rest of the body. And I hope this is the body of love. I've seen it manifest, and I hope to see it manifest again. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you, that you can be called the children of God. Those that claim to be friends to God needs a substitute. Do you know who he is? If you don't, I'll tell you who he is. I know him. He buried my sins in his body on the tree. A substitute is somebody that's going to take somebody's place. He's called a mediator too. He pleads my case before God and before man. But he's my substitute. People, I tell them often, you're to love the Lord and love your neighbor like yourself. And I had some guys at VA hospital one time. I was up there, and the one guy said, I can't love my neighbor. I just can't do it. I said, why don't you practice it, and maybe you'll learn to do it? Because that's our trouble. We don't practice what we can't do. And you'll never learn to do it till you practice to love your neighbor. You got to practice it, because practice makes perfect. Thing. So we need to love God with all of our hearts, soul, and mind. And the reason I read this, John 15, I like to read that because as you read the Bible, you're going to find out that Jesus Christ, when he spoke, he used parables, illustrations, pictures is what he did. This, I can see the picture of the tree, the vine, the branches, the work of the Spirit. I see the pictures. And it's important that we'll understand the scripture better if you can see the picture. I remember when my grandkids was, well, they're in the 40s now. Little kids, I used to go down to Texas to see the grandkids. And they'd say, Pappy, read that book to me out there. I say we read pictures because when you first went to school, they had a picture of a cat. It said C-A-T. I could read them. I remember what that was because it had a picture. The Lord made a lot of pictures in the Bible. He illustrates things by pictures. And here he did this by the trees and the branches and his love that he had for our people. He illustrated that. Anyhow, when I was down in Texas, and the grandkids sat around their feet. You know how they do, aggravate you. And said, Pappy, read the story. And they had these little books they read. And I pick a book up and I read it. I don't remember what it's about. They said, no, 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 that is not what that says. And my boy said, Dad, that's not what that says. I read the picture. But they liked that because they could understand it. The Lord has to make a picture sometime for us to understand. We get the picture and then we can see the person. A picture is good. All the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament was a picture. It was a promise. It was a shadow of things to come. But when you got the real thing, you don't want the picture. You need the real thing. And we have the real thing in Jesus Christ. It's like when I was over in Korea in 1950 or 52. We used to get mail. I got mail from my mom, I think, sometimes. I never got it from nobody else. But I had a good buddy over there. He's from Pittsburgh. That's all I can remember. That's 6 or 7 years ago. But every time he got a letter, he'd read that letter, and he would weep and cry, and he would get so excited. And he said, Ed, you'd have to love this girl. If you knew her, you'd love her. It didn't bother me. I didn't know her. I didn't even love her. But I'm going to tell you what. If you know who God was, you'd love him. You don't love him because you don't know who he is. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay his life down for a friend. The love of God is compared to two things, light and love. You can't see without a light. And you can't show love unless you got it. It's like my old buddy Jimmy Johnson who was here before he died. We went to see his cousin up at Fancy Hill. You know where it's at. Mary. And Jim hadn't been saved very long. Went up on the hill to see her. And he went in and told his sister. He said, honey, Mary, I really love you. And I'm going to tell you about the love of God. In fact, I want to give you the love of God. She said, well, how come you're waiting now? He said, because I didn't have it before. And maybe you never had it before. But you know what it is. And if you don't have it, he'll give it to you. I will guarantee you he'll give it to you. And he's already given it to some of you people. And I thank God for it. When I stagger, you've all preached to me. When I go downstairs to eat, somebody brings me a piece of cake or some water because they don't want to spill on the floor. But that's a trick. No. I love you and I know God does and I want us to love one another just like he did. The greatness of God's love, I cannot tell you how great it is till I have you understand how bad you was. Our understanding was darkened. We were alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that were in us. We were in blindness, total darkness, having no eyes to see and no ears to hear, no heart to understand. And God gave us some eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand the love of God. The Bible said we love him because he first loved us. You didn't love him first. In fact, you hated him. You asked me, how can I say that to you? Because I did too. I run from him. I did what Adam did. Cover the fig leaves and go hide from God. But guess what? He found me. You can run from God, but you ain't going to hide from him. When he sends that Holy Spirit out to get you, he'll get you. He will get you. I will guarantee you. When that Spirit comes to your heart to draw you, you know, he draws us with love kindness. He didn't make us to come to him. He never made you to come to him. He drew you. Love always draws. It draws. He drew us with love kindness before we ever knew who he was. You know, people say, how can you be so sure of the love of God? Because when he died on that cross, I was with him. When he raised on that resurrection, I was there. And guess what now? My record's in heaven. My witness is on high. So why would I be troubled about many things? He said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me. Because why is this? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or power, or anything present, or anything to come, will ever separate me from the love of God. It can't. It would separate Christ from his Father. He can't do it. He's part of the Father. And we're part of him. Amen. It's what I'm saying to you. Let your light shine before man. Don't go around preaching to people. My son told me 2 years ago, when you know where I live, Dane out there. He lives right next door to me. And I used to quote the scripture to him. And I can do it. I can quote him a whole bunch of scripture. And he got mad one day. He said, why don't you quit preaching to me? I said, why? He said, let God do what he has to do, but don't you preach to me. That's why I'm telling you. There's nothing wrong with preaching. There's nothing wrong with illustrating it, but do it through your life. And the amazing thing about it, he's up every day, cleans my house, and brings me a meal because he lives next door. And I do my Bible studies to myself. And I always leave my notes on the table because I know he's got to pick them up and move them. 2 weeks ago, he said, you know, I'm going to Canada for a week. I knew it. I said, why? What's the difference? Well, I thought maybe you'd pray for me while I was up there. Yeah. Yeah, he said, I thought maybe you'd even pray for me. I didn't tell him, but I do. But he knew that from reading notes, that we bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. God is truly good. I would stop with the character that one of our ladies always brings up here, and I won't tell you who she is. She talks about God's immutability. That's his character. I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I like the word immutability. I was in a black church in Ohio 40 years ago. And the pastor preached on the immutability of God. And I told this here, but it's worth telling again. He doesn't change. He's the same. And he said that his wife and him got married down in North Carolina. So every year they went back down home and come back into Ohio. And he said last year he was driving back up Interstate 77 coming into Ohio. Said his wife looked at him and said, honey, you remember 37 years ago when we was coming up here, we had just come off the honeymoon and said we was sitting right beside each other. That was 37. He said, I'm still in the driver's seat. Other words, God hadn't moved. We move sometimes. And we move in the wrong direction. Go back where you came from. Go back to God. Let's pray. Lord, our great God and our Father, again, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the attributes, the character of God, the holiness of God, the faithfulness of God, the power of God. We're thankful for everything he is. Because what he is, we are. You put us in your son. You sent him to die and bear our sins in his body. And when he died, we died. When he rose, we arose with him. And Lord, might that Holy Spirit that raised him be the same one that lives in us, that we might manifest the love of God to others. Oh God, do what we can't do. And that's a whole lot of things. Because if we do them, we'll mess them up. Lord, speak to people's heart and their minds. Draw them to your son, Jesus Christ. Show them the love of God. Show them the blood of Christ, what it does for them. Lord, continue to work in this body that we might glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.